Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you're going to speak to each and every one of us as we study your word and help us to understand your view and enable us not just to be the hearer of your word, but also help us to be a doer of your word and help us to put what we learn into practice, and so that we not only be your child, but also be an obedient child. And that whatever we do is pleasing in your sight. And so that when we are in trouble, when we cry out to you, I pray that you hear our prayer and deliver us. And I pray that you speak to each and every one of us in a special way. Especially, I ask the Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth. And enable us not only to understand your will, but to do it, so that when we see you face to face, and that we can hear from you saying to us that we are good and faithful servant of you. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I want to go back to chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. Salvation is not from yourself. Salvation is the gifts of God. Salvation is not by work. It's not because we are good. It's not because we have done something good. So we are not saved by work. We are saved by faith, so that no one can boast. I would like you to write down right beside chapter 2 verse 9. You write down Timothy, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, 2 Timothy, chapter 1, verse 9. God has saved us and call us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. I want you to write down right beside chapter 2 verse 9 Ephesians, you write down 2 Timothy 1 9. And then I put these two Bible verses together and I explain it together. It is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourself, it is the gifts of God. Salvation is not by work. Before I believe in Jesus Christ, I believe in Buddha. A lot of Chinese believe in Buddha. And only one religion that I know on earth is salvation by faith, not by work. All other religions is salvation by work. You have to do good work in order to be saved. But only the Protestant, only the Bible tells us that it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourself. Salvation doesn't come from yourself. Salvation comes from God. It's a free gift of God. Salvation is not by work, so that no one can boast. But then, why would God save us? In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9, God has saved us. He not only saved us, I want you to circle the word and. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. Save us not because of anything we have done. So that's why Paul says not by work. If If God saved you because you are good, you are obedient, you are beautiful, you are smart, then you can boast about that. But Paul say that so that no one can boast. If we boast, we boast in the Lord. God has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. But right after He saved us, He has a purpose for us, because He saved us according to His own purpose, according to His own grace. Chapter 1 verse 9, 2 Timothy. God saved us and called us to a holy life because of His own purpose. So what is His purpose? His purpose is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So I want to stop here. Salvation is by grace through faith. This one is the good news. Why? Because all other religions other than what the Bible says, is salvation by work. Okay? This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. So salvation equal to God's grace plus man's faith. If God being gracious to us and we refuse to receive His grace through faith, God cannot save you. God can only save those who put His faith on Him. I want you to write it down right beside Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9. You write down Romans 1:16. Let's turn to Romans 1:16. Romans 1:16, the Bible said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. What is the gospel? The gospel is salvation equal to God's grace and man's faith. We have to be cooperating with God. God give us grace and we have to say, yes, thank you. I reach out my hand to receive God's grace. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. Who believes, that means who has faith. So, when you talk about man's faith talk about two things. First, from man's perspective, we are sinner. We are all sinner. No difference. From God's perspective, God is love. He loves us. He sent His one and only Son to die for sinners like us. And then you write it down right beside here, Romans 5:8. Romans 3:23. George, could you read that? Man's faith. What do we believe? We believe that we are sinners. But we also believe that God loved us. He died for me. Yeah, 3:23. 3:23 tells us that we are all sinners. 5:8 tells us that God is love. So how do I know that God loves me? How do I know that God loves sinner? God demonstrated His own love for us in this. While we were still sinner, Christ died for us. If Jesus Christ did not die for us, no one will be saved. Because we are all sinner. Okay? So that's man's faith. You know what? If I don't think that I'm a sinner, I don't need Jesus Christ. If I don't think that I'm sick, I don't need a medical doctor. The reason why I go to see a doctor, because I know I'm sick. I need someone to help me. A doctor can help me. A doctor cannot help me if I'm a sinner. Only Jesus can help me. Because there's only one person on earth. He's sinless. No other man can help us. Could you turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 20? You find it? Edda, could you read that? 7:20.
There is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins.
So there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Sometimes we do something good, but most of the time we did a lot of bad things. So human being cannot save another human being. Only one person can save us. It's a sinless one. According to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Chapter 3, verse 18. So what's the first step that we have to do in order to be saved by God? Daniel, do you know? Okay. 1 Peter. Okay, hold on a second. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Okay. Could you read that?
For Christ died for sins once for all, a righteous
Okay, Sally, could you read it one more time? 3:18, 1 Peter.
For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was
In here, the Bible says Christ is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died for sins once for all. The righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus Christ is the only righteous man on earth. He died for the unrighteous. We are the unrighteous one. What's the reason why he died for us? To bring you to God. Jesus Christ was put to death in the body, and he was buried in the tomb. On the third day, God made him alive by the Spirit. He was resurrected. He was resurrected. Can anyone tell me? Carl, can you tell me? His resurrection is a proof of what? What's the reason why God raised him from the dead? What did God try to convey to us? What's the main reason why he raised him from the dead? Do you know? What happened if Jesus Christ did not resurrect it? Is he trustworthy? Because no one was resurrected on the whole earth. He is the only one. So Jesus Christ not only died for us, he's resurrected for us. Died for us, and he resurrected for us. His resurrection is a proof what? In Acts 17:31. What is his proof? Acts 17, verse 31. Heather, could you read that?
For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man who has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him from the dead.
So based upon this Bible verse, Carl, could you give me the answer? What is the reason why God raised his son from the dead? You read it one more time. 17:31. See whether you get the answer in here. For he is God, right? For God has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. What is the reason why God raised his son from the dead? What kind of proof that he gave to the whole world based upon these Bible verses?
We'll come back to church.
There's going to be a judgment time. So then I understand one thing. Jesus came to this world 2,000 years ago is to save us. And Jesus Christ will come back the second time is to what? Is to judge us. How did he save us? By his grace. How did he save us? By man's faith. His first coming is to save us. But his second coming is to judge us. And what's the proof that he will judge us? By his resurrection. Who's going to judge us? He has set the day of judgment. He has appointed his son to be the judge. And how did he judge us? He judged us with justice. How can you tell me? In his first coming is to save us. God sent his one and only Son to come down on earth to save sinners like us. The righteous die for the unrighteous so as to bring us to God, right? And his second coming is to judge us based upon in here, his first coming based upon Romans 5 Romans 1:16, right? To judge us in here is Acts 17:31. How can we escape the judgment? Joyce, do you know how can we escape the judgment? By believing in him? Could you explain to me by believing in Jesus Christ, how can you escape judgment? Because God said he's going to judge us according to his justice, right? What is justice? If I've done something wrong, I will get the due punishment. My question is, how can I escape that judgment? You say, by believing in Jesus Christ. By believing in Jesus Christ, how can I escape judgment? Could you explain to me? So, you saying that by believing in Jesus Christ, that means you have to confess your sins, right? 1 John, chapter 1, verse 9. When I confess my sins, God is just and God is faithful. He will forgive all my sins and cleanse all my unrighteousness. That's the faith that we have in Jesus. The first thing that we have to confess that we are sinner, right? We have to confess that we are sinner, and then we ask God, okay, I want you to tell you a few steps that we have to do in order to be saved. The first step, confession. Confess that you are sinner. Do you know what it means by confession? The word confession means I agree with God. I agree with God. What does it mean by I agree with God? God say that I'm a sinner. When I make a confession, that means I agree with you that I'm a sinner. If I do not confess my sins, that means I disagree with God. You say that I'm a sinner. I'm not a sinner. Same as if a medical doctor say to you, you are really sick, and you deny that you are really sick, then you'll be in deep trouble. Right? If he's a medical doctor, he knows that you're really sick. Like, you know, the other day, Grant asked me, you know, he has some crack in a wall. I was a structural engineer. I know that kind of crack is not from the structural deficiency. It just somehow is the movement. Its insulation is not that good. So I say, don't worry about that. Then you don't have to worry about that. But if I say, well, that kind of crack can cause a collapse of the building, you better find a hotel to stay, you know, because it will collapse. Then you better listen. If someone's saying that, you know, you better believe in it. Otherwise, you're going to risk your own life. God see everything in our heart. If he say that we are sinner and we disagree with him, then we won't confess our sins. Then we cannot be saved by him. Okay? God wants to save us. So he let you know that you are a sinner. So you have to confess your sin. Secondly, you have to ask for forgiveness. Ask God to forgive you. He loves you. He will forgive you. You know, at that time when I first heard about Jesus Christ, the fellow who shared the gospel to me didn't share clearly. He just said that I'm a sinner. I deny that I'm a sinner. And I don't want to say that. Why should I confess that I'm a sinner? You know? He tell me about Jesus Christ. I tell him about Buddha, you know? And at the end, he write a report, you know, don't bother visiting John Lamb. He's a stubborn man. He will go to hell, you know? But he didn't share the gospel. He didn't share the good news to me clearly. The reason why God wants us to confess our sins, the next step, he wants us to ask for forgiveness. Do you hear that Casey Anthony case? Did anybody know about Casey Anthony case? You know about that. So what happened to her? She got away from murder, right? And a lot of people believe that she's the killer of her own daughter, right? 2 years old daughter, Katie. And did she confess that she's a sinner? No. You know why she didn't confess? If you confess that you are a sinner before the judge will judge you and send you to... She was in what? In Florida. Florida has death penalty. If she confessed that she was a sinner, she killed her daughter. She would be executed in the state of Florida. She didn't even stand trial. She didn't even say anything. She let her attorney, her lawyer, to say all the things. Now she can get away from murder because people don't find the evidence. But you know what? Jesus Christ sees everything. In the future judgment, you cannot get away. The judge didn't see anything. So that's why the juror say she's not guilty of that and she'll be set free this coming Sunday from the Florida State Prison. But you know what? Unless she confess her sins before Jesus Christ and then ask Jesus for forgiveness, because Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, if you ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness, Jesus Christ say, I have already died for your sin. I have taken your place, the righteous for the unrighteous. So the just Jesus can say to you, I forgave you. Because I take your place. I die on the cross and I suffer for you. I take the curse upon me, said Jesus. Anyone who confess before the earthly judge, the earthly judge will judge you, will condemn you. But Jesus Christ is the heavenly priest, is the heavenly judge. He said, I forgave you because I love you. The first step for salvation is confess your sin. Second step is ask for forgiveness. What's the third step? And ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. Receive Jesus. And have faith in Jesus. Jesus Christ. Have faith in Jesus Christ. What does it mean by have faith in Jesus Christ? When someone knocks on the door, you look through the window, you see someone that you trust, you open the door. You don't know that fellow outside, you don't open the door. When we have faith in Jesus, what do? We open our heart and ask Jesus Christ to enter into our heart. When Jesus Christ enters into your heart, you become God's child. Confession not to man. Confession to Jesus Christ. When you ask for forgiveness, you don't ask man for forgiveness. Same as people believe that Casey Anthony killed her daughter, Katie. Even though if she confessed and asked for forgiveness, asked her daughter for forgiveness, her daughter is dead already. You understand what I mean? You can't even ask her daughter for forgiveness, right? She can only ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness. We confess to Jesus, ask Jesus to forgive all our sins. According to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, Jesus is glad to forgive all our sins because he said, I die for your sin. God demonstrates his love for us when he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross on our behalf. That's the proof that God loves us. You know what? When I heard about this good news, I was so moved. I said, this is indeed a good news. I was very naughty when I was young. Sometimes I break things, you know, I kick foot, I play soccer within my house when I was young, you know. I'm ignorant, I kick something and crack the lamb and crack this, crack that, you know. And when my daddy get home, say, who cracked that, you know. When you confess it, you know, you'll be in deep trouble, you know what I mean? So wow, you know, make up some lies. Oh, because of the windstorm, you know, blow the lamp. And how can it be windstorm? The window's all shut, you know. And my daddy still see the mark of the soccer ball, you know, in the wall. He said, what's that? I said, I forget that, you know. I should have wiped out the mark, you know. Finally, I have to confess, you know what I mean? You know why I'm scared of confessing? Because I don't want to be punished. Nowadays, when you share the good news to people, you say, are you a sinner? I say, no, I'm not a sinner. You know? I cover my conscience, you know? Although we've done a lot of bad things. Say, no, I'm not a sinner. Why do I want to make myself look bad? You know what I mean? Not knowing that. When I confess it before Jesus, and then I ask Jesus for forgiveness, and the third step is, Jesus, I know you are the one who loved me. Would you please enter into my heart? And so that I can become God's child. And Jesus is very happy to do that. 30-some odd years ago, in 1980, I came to know Jesus Christ. At that time, I opened my heart, asked Jesus to enter into my heart. Ever since then, he was within my heart and changed my life gradually. And I want to tell you this good news. Whenever you have done something wrong, don't ever try to cover it up. You can cover it up to deceive your parents, but you can never cover it up to deceive Jesus. You can deceive the judge who judged Katie Anthony because the judge didn't see, wasn't there when she killed her daughter. But Jesus Christ has seen everything. You understand? We may as well be honest before him and confess our sin and then ask him for forgiveness. When you ask him for forgiveness, he's a faithful judge. He's a loving judge. He's a merciful judge. He's a gracious judge. He say, I'm glad that you confess, and I'm willing to forgive all your sins. And then you put your faith in Jesus. Open your heart and ask Jesus to enter into your heart. And ever since then, you'll be God's son. Could you turn to 1 John chapter 5, verse 12? What is the reason why you have to ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart? The answer is in chapter 5, verse 12. Chapter 5, verse 12. He who has the Son means Jesus Christ, God's Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Life is eternal life.
When you have faith in Jesus Christ,
you open your heart
and ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart. Will you please write right beside here, John 1:12, John 3:16.
Gospel of John 1:12. Gospel of John 1:12. Yet to all means including Daniel, Michelle, John Lamb, Carl, to everyone, yet to all who receive him that means believe in him, to those who believe in his name and ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, Jesus Christ gave you the right to become children of God. So what did I just say? The three steps to salvation.
First of all,
you have to confess. Confess your sin. When you confess your sin, that means you agree with the assessment of Jesus Christ. Jesus knows that I am a sinner. You confess, that means you agree with his assessment. You agree with what he has. You agree with what he say about you. God say that we are all sinner. Romans 3:23. Right? No one is righteous. We are all sinner. So we confess, we agree with God, and then we ask God for forgiveness. Once we ask God for forgiveness, God going to cleanse you. Your heart used to be very, very dirty. When you ask God for forgiveness, he cleanses it. Same as when your house is messy, you know that you have a very important guest to come to your house, what would you do? You clean up the mess.
I still remember at one point, the Queen go to a New York City.
You know, in New York City, in the streets, a lot of pothole. They don't fix it. You know, just like riding a horse, you know. You know, the car goes through a pothole, boom, 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 like that. And lo and behold, when the Queen come, the Queen say, oh, how come I heard about New York City has a lot of potholes? Because the city mayor, right, before he come, fill all the potholes. And the peace officer only allowed the Queen car to go through certain route that has been fixed. You know what I mean? So, oh, how come the street is so good? I heard that a lot of potholes, like riding a horse. You know what I mean? So, because he fixed it. Before we ask Jesus Christ to enter into our heart, we got to fix our heart. How do we fix it? Confess and ask for forgiveness. Okay? And God cleanse your heart. And God, Jesus Christ, very happy to enter into your heart. I want to read that one more time to you. Gospel of John 1:12. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Verse 13. Children born not of natural descent or of human decision or a husband will, but born of God. When you ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, all of a sudden you become God's child. 3:16. Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him and asks Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, that person shall not perish but have eternal life. You remember 1 John chapter 5, verse 12? He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. If you do not have life, then you will be perished because of your own sin. He came here the first time, 2,000 years ago, to save us. He introduced a way to be saved, confess, ask for forgiveness, and ask Jesus Christ to enter into our heart. And then in his second coming, he won't judge us. He will deliver us. Where did the Bible say that? Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Nine 27 to 28. Joyce, could you read that? Hebrews 9:27-28.
Just as man is destined to die once, and after that to face judgment.
So we all have to face judgment, right?
Yes. So Christ has sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people, and he who will appear a second time, not to sin,
just as man is destined to die once and after that to face judgment. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. Who are they, many people? The believer. Jesus Christ can only save those who believe in him, who has faith in him. If you do not confess your sin, if you do not ask Jesus Christ for forgiveness, if you do not ask Jesus Christ to enter into your heart, he cannot save you. God can only save those who has faith in him, who believe in him. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. So that Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time. He appeared the first time to save us, to die on the cross. And then he appeared the second time, not to bear sin, not to save us anymore, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him. If we believe in him, we pass over the judgment. We don't have to go through the judgment. You know, if you are in Israel, there's a day called Passover. Do you remember Passover? Do you know what I mean by Passover? Could you tell me? Passover? Do you know the historical background of it? Tell us more.
Yeah.
Where do you learn this story? In Israel school? Oh, wow. See? Actually, it's not just the firstborn of the Egyptian. It's all the firstborn of cattle too. Everything, every firstborn. Because... So did the school tell you what's the reason why he has to take the firstborn, not the secondborn? Did he tell the reason? When so you hear about the story of Moses? Moses, the prophet that delivered the people of Israel out of Egypt, right? And Moses approached King Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say to Pharaoh, let my people Israel go. And King Pharaoh say, no way, they are my slaves. I get free labor. They do building for me, cheap labor. I don't have to pay them anything. They are my slaves.
when Moses approached King Pharaoh, let my people go, according to the instruction of the Lord God Almighty, then King Pharaoh said, I don't know your God. You are lazy. I don't let your people go. Your people continue to work for me. And the Bible says, the Israel nation is the firstborn. It's the firstborn son. You don't let my firstborn come to serve me, I kill your firstborn. That's why. Just like tooth for tooth, eye for eye. You try to enslave my firstborn, your firstborn will be struck dead. So that's why the firstborn. And what's the reason why, you know, King Pharaoh is so bad? What's the reason why God do not take away the entire family? Because God want to spare them, spare the remnant, the rest of the people, so that when they see the firstborn dead, just like what God say, and they fear God, and they turn around to believe in God. And that's God's way. And Passover. Passover means, did he tell you the story that you have to put the blood of the lamb on the lamppost and the lintel, right?
Yeah.
That's right. So when the angel pass over, when the angel see the blood in the doorpost, in the lintel, and the angel pass over, that means spare the firstborn, spare the life of this family. In the same way, according to Gospel of John, 1:29, John the Baptist say, behold the Lamb of God who take away the sins of all. Gospel of John chapter 1 verse 29. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. Jesus Christ is the Passover Lamb. He was slaughtered. He was sacrificed on the cross. He shed his blood, and when God see us, he see the blood first, and then he pass over us. He don't judge us. Do you know why? Once every month on the first Sunday, when we go to the church, we take the communion, Holy Communion. We take the bread. The bread is the flesh of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And then we drink the blood, his blood. When we drink his blood, God say, you have the Son of God within your heart. I pass over you. I don't judge you. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you won't even come to the church to take the Holy Communion. You don't have the blood within your heart. You understand what I'm trying to say? His blood cleansed your sins. Where does it say? Gospel of John, chapter 6. Will you please turn to Gospel of John? Chapter 6. So you can speak Hebrew, right? Wow. That's good. But do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Me?
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I was not taught to believe in him. Oh,
really? So they... It's amazing, eh? So you went to Jewish school, right?
Yeah. Well, I went to school at different Jewish schools.
But how come they teach you Passover?
It's
part of the curriculum? Oh, so you learn the Old Testament too?
Yeah.
So you study the 39 books from Genesis all the way to... Oh, wow, you're a lucky girl. So let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. chapter 6, verse 53. Could you read that to me? 53 to 54? 6, 53, 54. Jesus said to them, chapter 6, verse 53 to 54.
Oh,
yeah.
Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God. So I want you, okay, you eat the flesh of the Son of God. Wow, it looks like you are cannibal, you know, you eat the flesh of the Son of God. But I want you to write beside the flesh of the Son of God, you write down John 1:29. 1:29, what did John the Baptist say? John the Baptist saying to Jesus. Chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming forward, coming towards him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. Right? Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So, when you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, that means you eat the Lamb of God. Because he is the Passover Lamb. Did anyone tell you what happened? Let's say if you are the Jewish people, and on the Passover day, if you refuse to eat the Lamb of God, what happened? Isn't it in Exodus chapter 12, it stated clearly, not just the head of the household, the father eat that, the wife eat that, all his children eat that. The entire household eat that, including the servant, the slave, maid, and all that, right? As long as they're circumcised. Am I right? You don't remember. Because not everyone can eat the Passover lamb. It has to be circumcised. Has to be circumcised. So, in the Old Testament time, circumcised. In the New Testament time, that means you have the Holy Spirit in you. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, when you believe in Jesus Christ, God enters into your heart. He circumcises you. Circumcises your heart. Your heart becomes clean. Then when you eat the flesh of the Son of God, that means you eat the Passover lamb, you have eternal life. In those days, the Passover feast, not just the head of the household eat that, the mother and father eat it, no. The entire household eat that. Those who did not eat that cannot eat. Those who do not eat that, that means he has no faith in God. He will be struck dead. The angel see the blood. The reason, you know why there's a blood in there? Because slaughter the lamb. And then eat the flesh inside. You don't eat the flesh outside the door. Inside the house, you eat that. Did you keep the Passover feast within your house? So only Jewish people keep that, right? Yeah. But we keep that on the first Sunday of every month. We have the Holy Communion. And on the Passover night, the last night, that the Last Supper for Jesus, he instituted the Holy Communion. And he said, you can eat my flesh and drink my blood. And if you believe in it, you have eternal life. And so that's why all Christians nowadays, whether you are Jews or not Jews, we all keep the Holy Communion. And that kind of faith that we have in Jesus Christ. And since you have the background of the Old Testament, if you have faith in the New Testament, because what God say in the Old Testament is exactly what God say in the New Testament. Both Old Testament and New Testament, they don't contradict each other. New Testament is just a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The New Testament is a fulfillment of the Old Testament. The New Testament Jesus is the Old Testament image, like the lamb. The lamb of God is an animal. But the lamb has to be blameless, blemish, has to be spotless, has to be healthy one. And that symbolizes Jesus Christ is the sinless man on earth. The only one that is sinless before God. And that's why he can take our place, can die for us. Can you imagine if you commit some crime and then you say to the judge, I get another prisoner to take my place. The judge say, no, he's a sinner too. But if you take the righteous one, he may say, wow, okay, maybe. But Jesus Christ, the only righteous one to take our place and to die for us. Okay? Now, salvation, what is salvation? Salvation is God's grace. What is God's grace? He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to take our place, to die for us. That is grace. He gave us eternal life. That is grace. He forgave my sins. That is grace. I deserve to go to hell, but he say, I want you to go to heaven. That is grace. It's a free gift. But just God's grace is not good enough. Have to have man's faith. Salvation equal to God's grace plus man's faith. And I have to receive it. Just like if I have an x-ray on my chest, if the medical doctor sees something bad inside my lung through the x-ray, and he prescribes some prescription to me, I go to the London drugs to take the prescription, and then I assume that I'm the medical doctor myself. I cut the medicine into half without following the prescription. I don't think I will be healed. Whatever he say, I have to believe in what he say. Do exactly what he say. So I have to open up myself, confess my sins, ask for forgiveness, and ask Jesus Christ to enter into my heart. Lo and behold, and I will be saved. And I will receive God's grace. I will receive God's salvation. That's the only way. Any other question? Cici, do you understand what I'm trying to say to you?
Yeah.
Have you opened your heart to invite Jesus Christ to enter into your heart? Are you a sinner?
Yes.
So what are you going to do with your sin? You go and take a bath and wash away the sin?
No.
So what do you do? Ask God what?
To die on the cross.
Hmm?
To die on the cross.
Ask God to die on the cross for you? He died on the cross already. So, Michael, could you help Cici? How can you be saved? So what's the first step? Acknowledge that you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner, right? You have to confess that you are a sinner, right? The first step. And then?
Ask God for forgiveness.
You confess before God, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I agree with what you say. I agree with your assessment about me. I don't like what I have done, but I've done it anyway. I ask you to forgive me. Will he forgive you if you ask God for forgiveness? Let's see what the Old Testament say. I think you remember that. Psalm
32:5.
What Psalm say is exactly same as 1 John, New Testament, 1:9. Psalm 32, verse 5. Can you read it?
Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgression to the Lord and you forgave.
Yeah. The moment I confess is the same moment He forgave. Right? So Old Testament talk about the same thing. This is Old Testament, right? Psalms Old Testament, written by David, right? King David. And then you go to 1 John in the New Testament, 1:9, say the same thing. So the Old Testament teaching and the New Testament teaching, they talk about the same thing. So for those people who understand Old Testament, when they hear the New Testament, they say, wow, I heard about that. It is written in the Old Testament. Although Psalm 32 was written by King David, but 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 is written by Apostle John, written by different people, but talk about the same thing. The idea is you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner and ask God for forgiveness. When you ask God for forgiveness, He will forgive all your sins. Could you turn to 1 John to your friends? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. I would like you to read 1 John verse 8 to 10. You know, that's even better. 1 John verse 8 to 10.
Oh,
yeah, could you read that?
If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all the unrighteousness.
So in other words, if I confess it and ask for forgiveness, He will cleanse us, right? He will forgive all our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10.
If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar and His word has no place in our life.
God say that we are sinner, we say, no, I'm not a sinner, they mean, God, you're a liar. If I say, God, you're a liar, then I won't be saved, right? I may as well agree with what God say. Can you see? Can you see in Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5? You know what? Psalm 32, verse 1 to 5. At first, when King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he denied, he didn't confess it. You know what happened if he didn't confess it? Verse 3 and 4, you read that, 35. Psalm 35. Psalm is right at the middle of the Bible. Right at the center, middle. Psalm 35. Right at the middle of the Bible. 1 to 5. Psalm 32, 1 to 5. So what did he say? Verse 1.
Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered.
See? Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. How can my sins are forgiven? I confess it. I ask for forgiveness. If you ask for forgiveness, you are blessed one. You are the happy one. You know? Blessed is he whose sins are covered. How did God cover our sin? He covered our sin by His blood. His blood can cover our sin. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, verse 2.
Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him.
So, I'm the one who sins against God. And God say, okay, I don't count that. I erase it. Because I confess my sin, He erase it. He say, okay, although I know you are a sinner, but I don't count your sin anymore. Because you confess it. So, blessed is that kind of man. Okay?
And whose spirit is no deceit.
So, who is the one whose spirit is deceit? He didn't confess it. He said, God, you're a liar. I'm not a sinner. You deceived yourself. Right? So verse 3.
But I kept silent
What does he mean by he kept silent? He refused to confess his sins. He tried to cover it up. Verse 4.
For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer.
Then he has no choice but to acknowledge that he's a sinner. Then his sins are forgiven. Once he knows that, wow, that's the way to go to heaven. What did he say, verse 6?
Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you, while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him.
So that's why he tells the other people, hey, I found a way to go to heaven. Don't ever remain silent. Confess it. When you confess it, God forgave you. When he was forgiven, he became a blessed man. He tell the good news to the other people. King David is a good man. He found a way to heaven. You know what I mean? So now we find a way. So that's why in verse 6, we tell the other people. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to God, while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty water rise, they will not reach him. Do you know what it means by mighty water? Do you remember in Genesis chapter 6, the flood in Noah time?
Yes.
By that time you go to God, too late. The judgment times come, right? Before the judgment time, you confess your sin. You'll be smart girl, right? Before the mighty water come, before the judgment come, what is the mighty water come? In those days, that is the what? Before the final judgment come. Before the second coming of Jesus Christ, you confess your sin, acknowledge your sin in his first coming, just right now, your sins are forgiven. But if you confess your sin in the judgment time, too late. So you can receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Now is the time. Not when the mighty water comes. Not in the judgment time. Not in his second coming. Where else is the Bible say? Could you turn to, I conclude, in 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, 1 and 2. Now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of God's salvation. When we pray to him, we will receive that. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2. As God's fellow worker, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he said, in the time of my favor I heard you. In the day of salvation I help you. I tell you, now, N-O-W, now. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Don't wait until the second coming of Jesus Christ. He came here 2,000 years ago and gave us the Bible, both the Old Testament and the New Testament. And now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time of God's salvation. We can reach out to him. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your salvation, sending your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. We want to follow the very footsteps of King David, when he remained silent and did not allow his sin. You do not let him go. Your hands was upon him. He was in anguish until he acknowledged that he is a sinner before you and asked you for forgiveness. You are just and faithful God. You forgave all, and just as you have forgiven all our sins too. And you purify us from all unrighteousness, we give you thanks for that. Now that we ask you to enter into our heart, to remain in our heart all the days of our life, and change us and guide us, so that we walk in your way. Lord, I pray for all those friends and relatives that who hasn't known you yet. We pray that they realize now's God's favor, now's God's salvation, and I pray that they make the best use of the opportunity to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior, so that they be saved.
And I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.